Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is Alan Sliwa, host of the Lakers pre- and post-game, Lakers Talk and the Sliwa Show. I'm here with Brad Wallace, one of the top personal injury trial lawyers in the game. Brad, tell our listeners why they need to call the Wallace Firm when they get hurt.
Alan, I'll put my courtroom record up against any other lawyer on the radio. We focus on getting our clients top results. You won't see my face on billboards and won't hear me play an annoying jingle. If you get injured, you need a real trial lawyer, not a marketing guy.
Call the Wallace Firm now, 844-844-WINS, or visit WallaceWins.com today.
Classic reggae right there, Funch. That's Burning Spear right there. Okay, so Anthony Davis listing his home in Westlake Village for $8 million. I think this happens often, so let's not be too surprised or too shocked here. Anytime a player does anything, we all start assuming the worst. Are you worried that AD is going to sell his home and then eventually not be a Los Angeles Laker in the future? Yeah, I'm definitely not worried about it. Let me say something real quick about Anthony Davis and the position that the Lakers were in before the season stopped. Best record in the Western Conference. Incredible chance to grab number 17. Maybe they get that opportunity in a couple months. Maybe they don't. I mean, I think either one right now can happen. So we'll see what eventually happens. The Lakers were rolling, and Anthony Davis was rolling. AD was averaging almost 27 points a game, about 9.5 rebounds, almost 2.5 blocks, was arguably the – actually, you can't argue it. He was the defensive player of the year if the season had played out, and he just kind of kept doing what he was doing. Many times during the season, I would talk about this. It's what I kind of enjoy most when I'm doing the pre- and the post-games. You have Anthony Davis have a bad shooting night. He goes 6 for 20 or 4 of 14 or something along those lines, right? And he doesn't have not only does he have a bad shooting night, but his percentage is really low. But one thing that never happened, every time AD was delivering for the Lakers, he never slipped on defense. He never slipped on his rebounds. He never slipped on his block shots. He never slipped on his defensive assignments. Anthony Davis was everything we thought he was going to be walking into this season, right? So Anthony Davis, I think, is in as good of a position as anybody in the NBA right now. AD, I feel like, is in a position where I guess the best way to put it is his opportunity to play for the Los Angeles Lakers long term and have a chance for an NBA championship is incredible. Of course it is. Like, it should be. This is as good as it gets for Anthony Davis. I don't feel like the guy's going anywhere, and I feel – and this is, you know, also my hope. This isn't any intel or anything like that. I feel like this is as good of a position as anywhere in the NBA. From a basketball perspective, he's got a chance to win a championship. From a business perspective, it's Los Angeles. You can't get any bigger market-wise. Yes, you can go to the New York Knicks and be a part of that, but we all know the difference between franchises. From every perspective that you can look at it, I ain't worried about AD. I'm really not. I think Anthony Davis is going to be around with the Los Angeles Lakers for a long time, and that obviously is the hope as well. But I think I don't think you can have put together a better scenario for Anthony Davis. He'll get everything in L.A. He'll get a chance at championships. He'll get the big market. He'll get all the marketing dollars that comes with it, the advertisements, the endorsements. From a business perspective, it makes sense. From a basketball perspective, it makes sense. Not worried about him listing his home in Westlake Village. All right, I know a couple we got a couple couple folks on the line. So 877-710-ESPN if you'd like to be on the show. Let's go to Rich from Sherman Oaks. Rich, I appreciate you calling in the Lakers Talk.
Alan, my pleasure. How are you this evening?
Good, man. Thank you for calling in, bud.
Hey, thanks so much. So I was just telling the gentleman who picked up, you know, just Uber driving out here. I have two little ones at home. I'm FedEx driving. I'm Amazon driving. It's a crazy time. I'm basically risking my life to make minimum wage or less instead of $1,000 a week in unemployment. Tough choice, huh?
Well, hey, I'm you know, listen, hopefully you stay safe and things turn around for everybody, you know, sooner than later. By the way, Rich, you said you're Uber driving. How is that right now? I mean, is there anybody really using it much, or what? How does that work? Just explain to me.
Well,
I'm more curious.
When you turn on the app, not unlike the Waze directions app, it, you know, immediately starts warning you, saying, hey, only do this if you need to do it. But, of course, Uber is still incentivizing everyone trying to get us to go out there and drive because, you know, it's a bottom line situation for them. They're wearing that marketing hat of, oh, you really shouldn't, while at the same time trying to encourage the drivers a bit covertly, you know, get out there. The ride volume is extremely depressed, as you would reasonably imagine. You know, way back in the day when Uber first started, some folks would go out and make $300-$400 in 6 hours. Then that went down to like $200 if you work a 13-hour day, and now you're lucky to hit $50 if you work 8 to 10 hours. That's kind of the way it's lining up, you know.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy, and I hope obviously things turn around. But tell me what you were hoping to call into.
Well, you know, there are a couple things on my mind. The only thing that took my mind off of the loss of Kobe and Gigi and the other seven who were on that helicopter has been the coronavirus. And so when I clear my mind of, you know, washing my hands until they're about to fall off, my brain goes back to that whole, oh, yeah, Kobe. And still, all these weeks later, I'm still in a state of denial. It's incredible that denial should last. I mean, I reconciled the death of my father more easily than Kobe and his daughter. And I was close with my father. We didn't have any kind of a strained relationship at all. It's just it was sort of an expected thing. And there's something so incongruous about the death of somebody who's so, you know, has such an indefatigable will and a chi. And, you know, so, like, I mean, Kimmel and the other guys said it well, you know, he's just so full of life, so vital, such a beautiful, you know, physical human being. It's just hard to reconcile the idea of him being, you know, gone. So
I'll tell you this, Rich, and I appreciate you calling in, and good luck with all the driving that you're doing around SoCal. But I'll tell you this, and I know for me personally, right? Personally, I can easily go 5 years from now, and I'll be sitting in front of a microphone telling people that it still doesn't dawn on me that Kobe Bryant is no longer with us, and neither is Gigi, his daughter, and those seven others that perished on January 26th. So I'm with you, man. It will never dawn. And even when I come on here and I have some Laker topics and we're talking Laker stories, and of course, anytime you talk Lakers, just naturally Kobe's going to come up, and so much success that this franchise has had. It's been with Kobe for 20 years and 5 championships. I know it's a tough pill to swallow. I'll tell you that much. Let me keep going to the phone lines here. Manuel in Gardena. Manuel, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, Sliwa, happy Monday. Thank you for your service. Also to Funches, to that young man driving Uber, man, I feel for you, man. I don't know how they get away with the crap they pull. I have a few friends that are in the same boat as he, and they, like, literally explained it to a T like he did. So God bless all you Uber drivers. Hey, Sliwa, all right, man, you know you're my man, all right?
Here's
where the butt is coming in, and it's like a big old J-Lo butt, all right? hey, man, Kobe Bryant and those 98 Lakers, some of my favorite squads, like you said, Van X, or like we used to call them, Van Technical, Eddie Jones, you know what I mean? But those guys would have got swept out of the building by the Bulls, man. Make no mistake. Watch this special. I know you watched it.
But Manuel, that's okay. That's okay. Like, even if you get that specific team, the 97-98 team, even if you, let's say, got swept by the Bulls because they're too young or they're not ready and Phil Jackson's not there, that's okay. Like, but that experience is fantastic. You know, there's a lot of teams that ended up winning 2-3 championships.
If my aunt had a package, she'd be my uncle, Sliwa. Don't go down that road. Look, what happened was we were owned by the Utah Jazz at that time. They literally had keys to the Fabulous Forum. All right? We could not get through them. And what happened was the maturation, unfortunately, Dale Harris being told to walk, and Krause crumbling the empire, which led to Phil and, you know, that beautiful, beautiful Shaq and Kobe dynasty, if you will. But in our best times, we couldn't beat any of the Bulls teams. The only team I think that could ever beat any of those Bulls teams was Magic in his prime with that Showtime group.
Manuel, I appreciate you calling in. I'll say this, you know, and I talked a little bit about this last week. That's fine. They don't got to beat the Bulls, but that Kobe Shaq team is not going to get swept by the Bulls team. That's my personal opinion. I don't think that's happening. I think the Kobe Shaq days with Ori and Fox and Fisher and some of those other role players that are part of that Lakers team. Stephen A. Smith last week was saying they would get swept. Kellerman said maybe they went 7 at best. I think, yeah, they would win a couple games, because give me the answer for Shaquille O'Neal. And Kobe Bryant was young. That's the one thing for Kobe, is he was so young. Give me a Kobe, a prime Kobe, like Scottie and Jordan and some of these other guys. They were in their prime. Shaq was in their prime. Kobe wasn't. But we'll never know. But that 97, I still don't understand the argument. Is the argument that you don't want them to go up and face the Chicago Bulls? I would take – it's okay to, as teams become dynasties or win multiple championships, they lose. The Bulls, by the way, weren't they losing to the Boston Celtics and then losing to the Detroit Pistons before they became the team that they were? Lakers were losing to the Jazz before they became the team that they were. All right, Manuel Gardina, I will tell you this. Every time he calls, he delivers. The man delivers. All right, we got a shootout coming up next. Me and Funch, just stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, just a quick reminder. So we'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ will get back going again. Sedano after that. Will Kane follows from noon to 3. Mason and Island from 3 to 6:30. I'll hop on at 6. We'll do some crosstalk. And then the Sliwa Show the rest of the week. Kirk Morrison on Thursday and Friday. So this draft is coming up. Once we get that draft going, obviously, we'll talk. I'll talk some football with a real expert, with Kirk Morrison. All right, for now, we got Shootout. All right, Funch, as we always do, Shootout is presented by the Wallace Firm. Call 844-844-WINS for a free consultation and review of your insurance policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for operating expenses and or lost revenue. That's 844-844-WINS. Or visit wallacewins.com. We appreciate their partnership. What's going on, Funches? How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
You know, all is good. It's an interesting Monday because so many people are ready to talk about that documentary. Sedano and I did something for about a half hour right after that ended.
It seems like social media was all about it last night.
Bro, but think about it. Didn't you just, the moment that thing ended, just want to talk to somebody about it?
Yeah.
I think it's such a natural thing.
Not even that. After the second part ended, I wanted part 3 and part 4.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like the way they're staggering this. Let me tell you why. Like, my preference is, yes, I'd rather watch all 10 episodes. But by them doing 2 episodes a week, we really got some amazing things to talk about. You know, like I think a lot of people are already thinking Monday and Friday, you could just already dedicate to that documentary, right? Like, you can already dedicate that everybody's interested in watching it and seeing what next week's going to be about. So I think it's going to be fascinating. I really do.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what part. I mean, you know, usually when you get to these documentaries or whatever, they tell you what's coming up next, but they didn't tell you what's coming up next, so we don't know what's coming up next.
So I think they'll get a little bit into the Pistons, right?
Like, that's right, the Pistons.
A little
right.
bit of that Pistons.
So, and we should probably see the first appearance of Dennis Rodman, too.
Yeah, you know, that's how interesting is that? So we watched the whole thing 2 hours, pretty much no mention of Dennis. So you know that Dennis part's going to be interesting. But I love the Pippen. I love the Scottie Pippen stuff. I love the ownership part. I love Jerry Krause kind of wanting to change everything. And Michael is just freaking Michael Jordan. Why do they keep arguing who the GOAT is? Why do we keep doing that?
Oh, my God. You just forget. Like, it just came so easily for him, too. Like, it came easily for him, too.
When they showed highlights of him versus the Celtics and all those Hall of Famers he was going up against.
Oh, get this, Alan. Today's the anniversary, too, of Game 2 of the 63 points.
I mean, it was just stupid. I mean, and to hear Bird, you know, one of the things I love about Bird and Magic, too, it's like they gave credit where credit was due, right? Like, there was no bitterness. And I love Magic hopping in and basically saying, like, I knew him and Bird both knew, like, their time was coming. Like,
yeah.
Jordan was going to take over the league.
Yeah, what did Bird say? He was like, God was disguised as Michael Jordan.
Come on now. Come on now. But
I hear Larry Bird's getting some flack on social media because he thinks, because people are saying that only God can beat the Celtics at that time.
Well, listen, I will say that it was something about Jordan so raw going up against all those Hall of Famers. It
yeah.
really was.
Bird saying that
was the best team he's ever played on. And then here's Jordan putting up a 63
And one more thing, too. One more thing. He played golf with Danny Ainge before a playoff
game?
Yeah. Could you imagine that?
Actually, that was a little weird. That one, I didn't know. I've
heard of guys going out, you know, before, you know, they play each other in the playoff games, but not like playing golf or anything.
Yeah. I guess that's part of Jordan's by the way, he's playing golf and he got those clubs for Scottie Pippen and he said that Scottie was like, yeah, that was the worst thing I could have done because he won a lot of money off.
Right. All right, let's get this thing started.
What's happening, players?
Thank you, MT. Thank you, MT.
MT, my man.
All right, so Shaq spoke with ESPN's Ariel Helwani on ESPN IG Live last week when he was asked about his and Kobe's Lakers if they could have beaten Jordan's Bulls, and this is what he said.
Yes, easily, yeah. Because I would have killed Luke Longley, Bill Winning, Cartwright, yeah. So the factor is me and my free throw shooting. So, okay, another question is, our Lakers in their prime and Chicago in their prime, who is Phil Jackson with? Is he with us or is he with them?
I think he's with them because he was with them first.
So he would have tried the Hacker Shack, then he would. So I still would average my 28, 29, but the key would have been the free throws. So, you know, with me, it's always 50-50, so hopefully I would have been on. If I'd been on, we win. If I'd been off, we lose. But, you know, I love having these conversations. They would have did this, we would have did that. But I can strictly say I think we would have beat them.
All right, Alan, so best of seven, you know, in a series, who wins? Those Lakers or those Bulls? We've been talking about it all show.
Let me say, last week I kind of hit on this as well. Listen, I got no problem with the Lakers losing in that series against the Chicago Bulls. How young was Kobe at that? Kobe was maybe 20 years old, something along those lines, right? So 21, 22, whatever Kobe was. Kobe wasn't the Kobe in his prime, okay? That Chicago Bulls team was arguably the greatest team of all time. I don't have a problem Lakers losing in a 6 or 7 game set against the Bulls. The problem I have is when Stephen A. was like, Lakers would get smoked by them. What do you mean get smoked? Like, that's the thing I don't understand is when people think like that Lakers team can't compete against that Bulls team. Who was going to stop Shaquille O'Neal? Who?
That's what I say. The Lakers are going to have to get at least 2 games from the series from just Shaq being dominant. And the Bulls having Luke Longley and Bill Wennington as their centers.
So that's the one thing that stuck out to me the most is who was going to stop Shaquille. Nobody was going to stop Shaq. And I think the Lakers role players were probably a little underestimated. I mean, how clutch was Derek Fisher? How big was Rick Fox? Robert Horry, I don't even have to talk about him and his 7 NBA championships and how key he was everywhere he went. So let's not look down on the Lakers role players as well. But I would much, again, the only problem that I have is Kobe wasn't in his prime. Where Pippen and Scottie and, you know, Phil Jackson was obviously with the Bulls at that time. You had so much rolling with the Bulls that's the one thing that takes away from the Lakers is that Kobe wouldn't have been in his prime.
Yeah, you know, Kobe not being at his peak. But, you know, the Lakers really, they did have a good team, Alan. They had a good team.
they're taking games. I mean, this whole notion of the Lakers would get swept by the Bulls is I'm not paying attention to
that. And I'm interested to see how Dennis Rodman plays against Shaq, too, you know, at that time.
Yeah, you know, I did think about that. Who did they have that Pistons series? Wasn't it Ben Wallace?
Yeah, Ben Wallace. That's right. Yeah.
So I think there would be kind of that similar type of approach, right? Where you're taking somebody that's undersized, but also won't get pushed around.
That's true. You leave him on an island and just see if he can handle it. And I think Dennis Rodman, you know, he's one of the greatest defensive players of our ever, basically.
I can't wait for the Rodman portion. You know, there's going to be a incredible amount of info on the Rodman portion. By the way, I don't know when you became just a DJ over in the back by yourself there, but great mix here.
Thanks, man. I got my ways here.
I felt warm all over.
Thank you, MC. Thank you. So the ESPN horse competition ended with Utah's Mike Connolly edging out Chicago's Zach LaVine. Now, the competition received nothing but criticism from everyone about the spotty Wi-Fi that caused cameras to freeze to the crazy home court advantage Mike Connolly had for basically having his own indoor basketball gym.
Yep.
Now, was this competition a hit or a miss, Alan?
So here's the thing. It missed, but I would rather miss than not take the shot. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
So if they didn't take the shot and they didn't realize that they missed, I think that would be the true failure. So I like that they did it. I like that they tried it. I like that they did the NBA 2K20. I like how they did that tournament. Now, was I a personal fan of any of it? I was not. There's a way to do this. And if it's not your big-time players, it's just not going to be that interesting, right? So if it's LeBron playing horse versus Steph Curry, are you watching?
Of course, yes. That's appointment TV right there for me.
I'm watching. If it's Giannis versus Anthony Davis and horse, are you watching?
Of course. If it's Mike Conley versus Zach LaVine, are you watching? And I don't think anyone did.
Even with those players, like, they also had players that were already retired. It was Chauncey Billups and Paul Pierce. Like, I just don't care, right? Like, I personally don't care. I like that they tried something, but it wasn't for me. It might be for somebody else, but it wasn't for me.
I just think they didn't pick the right guys. Like, if they had retired players, I would love to have seen Reggie Miller. That's, like, one of the greatest shooters of all time.
By the way, that's a great one too. If it was like Reggie versus Ray Allen, or
Reggie, of course, that's great.
Okay, so here's a perfect example. Did you hear that? And they might have already done it. NHL is doing their video game version, right? Do you know who's in it?
No. Oh yeah, Wayne Gretzky
and Alex Ovechkin.
Those are two of the greatest players of all time, basically.
Okay, right. So I'm in. If you're going to do that, I'm in. Imagine if it was Magic and LeBron in NBA 2K20.
I want to see Magic Johnson play video games. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, exactly. Like, I have no idea how he'd do. But imagine if it was just the best of the best. That's what's going to attract. And I'll go back to this. I'm happy they tried something, because who knows? Maybe this thing was a hit. Maybe, you know, here we are still talking about it after it happened over the weekend. So maybe they're like, hey, you know what? Even if a ton of people didn't watch, at least we got some people to talk about the sport and everything else. But I'm with you. I wasn't crazy about the setup. So I wasn't crazy about that.
I thought it was a total miss, Alan. I thought it was a total miss.
I was even happy to get the strip search.
MT?
Enough of the strip searching, MT.
All right.
This is getting too far.
All right. Our old guy, Pau Gasol, is turning 40 this summer, and he's considering retiring, but he still wants to represent Spain in the Tokyo Olympics in 2021.
Interesting.
Now, his motive, according to Powell, is to play in a fifth Olympics, something only four other men's basketball players have ever done. Now, is this something you would like to see Powell do, or should he just step aside so someone else could get a shot at playing for Team Spain?
Quick question. Is he... What are the other four players that have played? Are they all Americans?
No, they're not. None of them are Americans.
Oh, none of them are Americans.
No. I think the only guy to play, American guy to play in four Olympics is Carmelo. And other than that is no one else.
Mm. Would LeBron, would this be his fourth if he plays
next
year?
It would be his fourth, yes, because he went to 2004, 2008, and 2012.
That's right. He didn't play. Did he play 2016?
No, he did not. He did not. No.
Okay. So real quick, do I think Powell should be a part of that? Let me tell you something. You know, Pau Gasol will be considered, in my opinion, is considered one of the greatest players of all time. What I'm talking about from that is just such a fundamental player, such an amazing player. But what he's really known for is being the greatest European player of all time, him and Dirk, right? Like they're that caliber of success.
I'd have to say I put him up there since with the championships and everything and the gold medals.
Of course, right? So his career should be most definitely appreciated in every possible way. As far as his representation for Spain, he's a king in Spain. You know, think about it. Like him and Marc Gasol, these are two of the greatest to ever play that come from Spain. I'm gonna stop saying greatest to ever play. I know I'm hyping that too much, but I'm saying for their country. Like they are everything for their country.
No, you're right. You're right. It's Pau from Spain. So, that's basically it.
So I think that for him to be a part of one more Olympic run, imagine how the country will embrace that, how much they'll appreciate that. I mean, he's just one of the best to ever do it. Certainly one, just a great Laker. I can't wait for that moment where they hang his jersey up in the rafters. So I'm all in for Pau getting another another crack.
Yeah, I think he wants to make this his last farewell, basically his last dance.
Yeah.
And I wish the Olympics were this year, but, you know, because of Corona, it's getting pushed back to next year. So, you know, maybe Pau sits out the NBA season and just plays in the Olympics and just walks away. You know, that's kind of what I want to see.
So when Pau's done, how long does he have to wait before he can get his jersey retired?
Ooh, I think
when do you think?
I think a couple years. I think maybe
years?
Yeah, I think a couple years.
You know, this is what stands out for me. I think this was actually a conversation. I'll save this when we're done. I want to talk about this. There was some conversation about Pau last week and just, you know, jersey retired, statue, all this kind of stuff. Pau's one of my favorite players ever to play for the Lakers. I think he was almost, I don't know if underappreciated is the right way to put it, but there's a lot of times where we talk about some really, really amazing players. Pau was so key to those Lakers two championships. I mean, Pau could have arguably been a finals MVP against the Celtics. Like, that's how good Pau was in that
series.
Yeah,
and even in the Magic, too.
Even in the Magic series. So I always, anytime we get a chance to talk Pau, I love doing it because I want to make sure he gets his proper respect.
So I like the open collar and the tight pants.
All right, moving along, MT. In other Olympic news, and according to Shams, the Nets' Spencer Dinwiddie, since he did not receive a Team USA invite, is in the process of getting a Nigerian passport to play for the Nigerian national team during the Olympics. Now, he would join Orlando's Al-Farouq Aminu, has the only NBA guys on the team. Should more NBA players go this route since it's so hard to get on Team USA?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, right? That's I don't know how that works. Like if he would have got invited in the States, he would have played.
Obviously,
but because he didn't, now he can just go play for another country.
Yeah, if he gets a citizenship, yeah.
You know what? I'm all for it. That's all good. Go do it. I mean, it's going to be more competition when the United States is so far and beyond better than every other country out there that to have some good caliber players, all-star caliber players, Spencer Dinwiddie, been a great player off the bench, but really he should be a starter on any team. I'm not against it. If it brings up the level of competition, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen other guys throughout the years, go play for other countries. Like, I think, remember Andrew Blatch from the Wizards?
That's right.
He went to go play for the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And other guys, I just can't get off the top of my head. They played for countries that are not, you know, their father's country or their mother's country. They just wanted to play basketball.
Well, I think there's something to that, too, by the way. By the way, I mean, when you say it that way, I don't know if they should be allowed to do it. But if it's within the rules, then there is something about these guys, so many people that kind of dodge some of these summer events. And then here's Spencer Dinwiddie that wants nothing more than to play in the Olympics. Listen, I get it. That's his love for basketball. That's him wanting to kind of further his career.
Have you ever touched his body?
No, MT, I have not touched his body. But
did we ever figure out which player he was talking about?
I think 95% he's talking about Adrian Peterson.
So you don't think it's Dwight?
No, I think it's Adrian Peterson.
Okay. 5%
okay,
Dwight.
So you know, today is 420, the unofficial holiday for people that like to partake in using marijuana. Now, lots of stoners will celebrate in many ways today or tonight by lining up, eating edibles, listening to good reggae music like us, and yes, watching stoner movies. So give me your greatest stoner movies of all time.
Okay, greatest stoner movies of all time. My favorite, one of my favorite movies of all time happens to be a stoner movie. I love The Big Lebowski. I mean, I cannot tell you how much I love The Big Lebowski. There's so many classic scenes in there. I remember in college, there were so many nights where I was like, you know what? I just want to freaking sit here and I want to watch The Big Lebowski. The Jesus. How good is the character? The Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, there's a spinoff movie about him, too, that just came out.
That just came out?
Yeah, that just came out this past year. And it's called The Jesus.
Okay, I got to go see that. I got to go see that. The Big Lebowski, one of my favorites. Half Baked.
Yes.
How good? How good is Dave Chappelle when he's taking out that girl on a date?
Oh my God! It reminds me of some of my first dates in the years and when I was in my 20s. You know, you go out with like $15 and try to not spend any money.
How about the moment where a homeless guy puts out, I think, a cup, and he just grabs one.
He just grabs his cheese, and he starts eating ice cream.
It shows the tally of money going up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so
and
good.
And you also can't forget the Fridays, too, which, you know, I love Friday 1, but Friday 2, Friday 3 are not as good as Friday 1, obviously.
Well, I was gonna ask, so what is the Fridays count as a weed movie?
Yes, it does. It really does.
All right, then I'm in. No, the Fridays are for Chris Tucker.
I mean, even people are saying like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which I've never seen, is a stoner movie too. So
White Castle
is a great one too. How High with Method Man and Red Man? If you've seen that one,
that's right. I forgot about that. Those are all. I think those are all very, very capable and willing stoner movies that stand strong on 420.
And Alan, that's all I got for you on this 420, man.
Funches, thank you, my friend. Thank you. You know what? I want to hit on something because it happened last week, and Funch just brought up Pau Gasol. When we come back, I'm going to hit on this. Pau Gasol, I think it was a conversation on the Sedano show last week. Greg and George were talking about it, and the conversation was, should Pau have a statue outside of Staples Center? Because I'm not even going to – there's no need for me to mention should his jersey be hanging in the rafters. I mean, that is a complete no-brainer that Pau one day will have his jersey retired at Staples Center. But let's get into that. You want to be a part of the show, don't hesitate. If you ever want to be a part of Lakers Talk or the Sliwa Show or any of that stuff, just call in 877-710-ESPN. I'll do my best to have you guys a part of the show. And then also on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, just a quick reminder, Mike Bresnahan coming up at 8:30. So Mike Bresnahan from Spectrum Sportsnet. Be good to kind of catch up with him. A lot of these guys I haven't really got a chance to catch up with. So Brad Turner, Bresnahan, Brad was on a little bit earlier. So real quick, just to give my thoughts on this, conversation came up last week on the Sedano show, Greg Bergman as well. So they're having the conversation about Pau. I just saw more of the Twitter side of it. No need to have a conversation about if Pau should get his jersey retired. I think most Laker fans would agree with this. Why even have the conversation? Of course he's going to have his jersey retired. He was incredibly, incredibly big to making it to three finals in a row and grabbing two NBA championships, one against Orlando in 2009 and then in 2010 against the Boston Celtics. The top two players for the Lakers was Kobe and Pau. Both of them, no question about it, deserve every accolade possible for that run that the Lakers had. Kobe in a completely different level just because of the 20 years with the Lakers and his incredible success with the five championships. So no need to have a conversation about Pau up in the rafters. We all know that as soon as Pau gets that opportunity, he's retired for a certain amount of time, and at some point the Lakers will call him and they will have some type of retirement for Pau Gasol. That's my assumption. That's the only thing I could assume, and that's based off how incredible Pau was for the Lakers. On the other side of things, I'll just explain real quick. To have a statue outside of Staples Center, I don't think that's going to happen. First of all, as great as he is, as great as Powell was, I think the Shaq part, perfect, exactly how it should be. Magic, of course. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, no question about it. Jerry West, his contributions to the Lakers franchise. Let's go to Chick Hearn. Like, these are iconic. You know who will eventually, of course, have a statue outside of Staples Center? Of course, it's going to be Kobe Bryant. You know who I'd love to see have a statue outside of Staples Center? I would love nothing more than to see Dr. Jerry Buss also eventually have a statue outside of Staples Center. So those are the statue-worthy conversations, in my opinion. And Dr. Jerry Buss hopefully one day has one. Why wouldn't he? I mean, he's the greatest owner in the history of professional sports, 10 NBA championships. So that's what I think as far as statues go. Real quick, I mentioned a little bit earlier today too. So today is the this week is the 4-year anniversary for Lakers Talk. So kind of crazy to have it 4 years in, and I want to tell a quick story of kind of the path for Lakers Talk. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I've been at the station for over 10 years, but I've been on the business side. So I've had an incredible amount of people that kind of allowed me to take these very small steps in figuring out this vision from the radio side. Our previous GM, Scott McCarthy, or Amanda Brown, or Michael Thompson. Michael Thompson used to be our previous program director. But it is it's pretty damn cool to be sitting here and having done this for 4 years. And I, you know, from a personal perspective, I hope this is something that's 10, 15, 20 years down the road. I tell this story, and every Monday night, we just continue talking Lakers basketball. That is really the main reason why I'm in LA. Love Lakers basketball, and I love talking, obviously, Lakers basketball. So pretty cool to have 4 years already of the show. And think about the 4 years for the Lakers from not, you know, you spend a couple years where this Lakers team is doing nothing and you're rooting for draft picks, and it's D'Angelo Russell and it's Jordan Clarkson and it's Julius Randle and eventually Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. And then LeBron James decides he wants to come play for the Los Angeles Lakers. And even that takes a year to kind of get things going. Anthony Davis gets traded to the Lakers. We know all the other stories, whether it's off the court, on the court, it doesn't matter. But this franchise, man, I'll tell you one thing. There are always, always things to talk about with the Los Angeles Lakers. And, you know, obviously we'll continue to do so. So Mike Bresnahan, this is what I want to do with Brez coming up next. So Brez, who's part of Spectrum Sportsnet, I want to reminisce a little bit, and I know some Laker fans are okay with doing this, and some probably are not. Lakers are supposed to be up 1-0 against the Memphis Grizzlies after a win yesterday, we'll call it, right? Playoffs were supposed to have started this past weekend. I want to get Brez's thoughts of what Staples Center would have looked like, being that it's been 6 years that we have obviously not been a part of the NBA playoffs, what Staples Center would have been like. And plus, if we do get a chance to play this season, what does he think becomes the biggest challenges for the Lakers getting started again, getting restarted? So maybe some kind of different scenarios compared to what other teams in the NBA would be going through. And I'm talking specifically about the Lakers' age. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN. Okay, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Mike Bresnahan, Spectrum Sportsnet, nice enough to join the show. Mike, how are you doing?
Alan, trying to adjust to our new world here. It's been obviously unusual, and I miss sports terribly, and I hope you and everyone else is staying healthy for sure, my friend.
No, of course. And Brez, I would set same sentiment back to you. And I actually kind of I look at this, and I've asked a few different of those who I guess are accustomed to always being out and about. They're traveling a lot. They're with the team. Playoffs would have started this weekend or this past weekend. How have you been kind of using your time? I mean, to go from the schedules that we had to then all of a sudden everything just stops. What have you been doing? What are you taking up some new activities? What have you been up to?
Alan, I have never cooked more in my life. I'm one of those
guys
I like to go out for dinner almost every night of the week. And, You know, I'm in the kitchen a lot. I've never used a dishwasher more often, never taken out more trash, more recyclables. I'm ready to cook for all of us. Everyone,
that's awesome.
Your station and mine, too, once the pandemic eventually drifts away. But it's been fun, but it's also been hard. You know, I kind of vacillate between, you know, trying to pick up something, trying to keep myself busy, and feeling frustration. Because, as you mentioned, you know, the Lakers should be up 1-0 in the playoffs at this point, probably playing, having one against Memphis at Staples Center on Sunday. And it's just, it's hard to not get into the playoff vibe. I'm a big hockey fan as well, mainly because I went to the University of Wisconsin for college, really got to know the sport out there. Love the NHL playoffs, and it's obviously safety and health first, but definitely feel like there's a little void, and not just you and me, but most people, if not everyone who listens to your show as well.
You know, Brez, let's actually go to that. So, like you were just mentioning, yesterday would have been game one. Lakers predominantly would play on a Sunday. Playoffs would have started on Saturday. Just 6 years no playoffs, and then this would have been the first year the Lakers get back in. And what do you think Staples would have been like? What just this playoff run, what do you think Staples Center would have been like? Do you feel like you would have felt that it's been 6 years and that many of the fans would have felt it's been 6 years? Like, what do you think this playoff run would have been like?
Yeah, Alan, it would have been something special. I mean, people just dying to celebrate in Los Angeles. If you're a Laker fan, you're just hoping, you know, after this long drought that you've been talking about. And keep in mind, they haven't won a playoff game since 2012. So it's going way back since they actually won a game, because, of course, they got swept in the first round of the Dwight Howard, Steve Nash season. And so people are really, Laker fans would really be excited to get out there and show how much they've missed the taste of success that is the L.A. Laker brand. And no doubt about it, the arena would have been rocking. It's been kind of fun to see some things on our network, you know, Spectrum Sportsnet. We are showing old Laker games almost around the clock. And, you know, playoff games in particular, and all the important ones that have taken place for this franchise over the decades. So I think it would have been a really fun experience Sunday at Staples Center for sure.
Brez, what are some of the games that you guys are replaying? Or I know ESPN's doing some classic games as well. But what's a game or two that stands out to you that you're watching and you're like, man, every time I watch this, this doesn't get old? Or, oh, wow, I forgot this happened. What are some of the games that stick out to you?
Yeah, I was only a teenager in the 80s, so to see some of the work that my colleague James Worthy did on the court, and of course Magic and all the guys in the Showtime era, it's always fun to see that. And not, you know, everything went back then, Alan. I mean, come on. You know, I sit next to James Worthy watching all the games on most nights, and he chuckles when he sees a modern-day flagrant foul, so to speak. You know, it's just kind of crazy to see how tough these guys were back in the 80s. And, of course, it trickled into the 90s for a while, too. But, you know, the clotheslining and the hard fouls, especially on breakaway dunk or breakaway layup attempts, you know, it's just crazy how tough the NBA was back then. I'm not saying it was like NFL tough or anything like that, but definitely a different animal. And, you know, the Lakers, people who criticize the Lakers of the 80s, you know, the few and far between that do that, they say they weren't tough. They were kind of glitzy, kind of glamorous. You know, between Rambis and, you know, Michael Thompson, who you know well, he had a little mean streak in him, too. Kareem was a tough competitor. It's not like he was, you know, a 275-pound Shaq physique, but all these guys are pretty tough, and you just remember that when you see games in the 80s.
Yeah, there is. I think you're right. There's this perception, and I don't know where it comes from. Maybe it's because the term of the Showtime era, and every time that you see highlights of those, it was Magic's no-look pass. It was Byron Duncan over this guy, Worthy, Kareem. You saw a lot of these just beautiful, beautiful highlights, but what's forgotten is that team can lock down any team in the league, and that they were actually as good on defense as they were on the offensive side. So Michael Thompson always points that out to me. You know, he'll always say, you know, everybody thinks we were just offense, but then he'll go into all these points of how they were so great, how they were so great defensively. But it is something about some of those old games, because you went back to those 80s games. You know, the games that I love watching the most, I love watching the Kobe Shaq days. And I love some of those games where, you know, Shaq was so dominant in those three back-to-back-to-back championships. And I think sometimes what gets forgotten is those games he'll foul out in a critical game. It might be in the NBA Finals. It might be in the Western Conference leading up to the Finals. And here comes Kobe, 21, 22 years old. All the pressure on him, and he just kind of approached these games as if they were, it's no big deal. Yeah, yeah, Shaq's on the bench. Yeah, he's the most dominating player in the NBA. No problem. Why don't you just give me the ball and let me, as a 22, 23-year-old, bring the Lakers that critical, critical game. Those are some of my favorite games in Lakers history, and seeing some of these old games, those come up a lot. Those are fun to watch, too.
Yeah, you know, great point. And allow me to plug us briefly. We just finished airing the fourth part of a documentary of the 20-year anniversary of that first Shaq and Kobe team. Obviously, the big Portland comeback, fueled by Brian Shaw. And I'm going to admit this publicly for the first time. I named a goldfish B. Shaw because of how he played in that game. And I used to have a nice little tank, Alan. You know, times have changed since then. But it was just so much fun to watch those two, Kobe and Shaq, especially when they were getting along, just to play off each other. And, mm-hmm. and you have the finesse of Kobe, and trust me, he had plenty of power too, but Shaq was the definition probably of our generation, and maybe even the previous generation as well, of dominance in the post. I mean, I've never seen a player like him ever. So much fun to watch. And you know, he had the personality to fit the city of Los Angeles. You would see him or hear about him in the morning. He would have been in the valley sitting on a patio of a restaurant with a friend or two. And then someone would have told me, I saw Shaq in Beverly Hills yesterday at lunch. And then you'd see or hear about him being at a club that night in L.A. And he was just everywhere. I mean, he really wrapped his arms around the entire city of L.A. One of my favorite players ever to watch and to interview, too.
Prez, are you sure it was him? Because I think there's a lot of people that look like Shaq. You know, a lot of people that are 7+, 300+ pounds. Mike Bresnahan from Spectrum Sportsnet hopping on Lakers Talk. Prez, if we do get a chance to see the Lakers play again this season, and, you know, I'm obviously talking months down the line, if there is some solution that comes to play, if the testing is ramped up, if the country seems like it's got a much stronger hold on COVID-19, what do you think becomes some of the biggest challenges the Lakers face to restart the season and go on that playoff run?
Well, it's a veteran team, and I think that's the good news and the bad news, Alan. I mean, the good news you would think is they've been here before. Obviously, LeBron has done this. JaVale McGee has done this. Danny Green has been down a long playoff trek and a long playoff season before. And obviously, Rondo, too. And I know I'm missing someone, but they have tons of guys who have been along the elongated path of a championship season. Now, the bad news is they're not all 24 and 25-year-olds. So how quickly can they snap back? You know, the guideline that I've been hearing is every month that the NBA is off is another week of training camp that they need. So, they're going to approach a couple months here in a couple weeks. So they're going to need at least 2 weeks of preseason, so to speak, to get up and running if it trickles into, June. Before they come back, that'll be 3 months. It'll take at least 3 weeks of a runway. That's kind of the guideline that I've been given. So, you know, they're not the Lakers of 2 years ago. And that, obviously that team and those teams were young and struggled a lot. But, they're a little long in the tooth. And that's one thing that I think hopefully the vets, knowing what it takes to win championships, hopefully have been staying in shape individually. Because, of course, none of the players can congregate at the team training facility for any NBA franchise at this point.
Mike Bresnahan, Spectrum Sportsnet on Lakers Talk. Brez, so Danny Green was on Spectrum, and he talked about basically playing without fans. I'll quote this. I'll take a ring without fans. If they say you want a ring or you want fans, I'll take the ring without fans. Of course, and I think it's kind of one of those where most players would I think at this point say to themselves, man, if we could just finish off this season, I don't think anybody expects fans to be back in the arena in a long time. So just kind of running with that for a quick second. The Lakers, I'll just use as an example, they were playing for home court advantage, and that was a big part of it. How much do you think that kind of, I know it's uncharted water for everybody, but how much do you think that could have an effect to play to the strength of some teams play, or we just don't know because we've never seen anything like this?
Yeah, I think younger teams need that home court advantage, younger or inexperienced playoff teams. I already mentioned Memphis. I had New Orleans snuck into the playoffs. Maybe a team like Denver. You know, they played together for a few years, but not quite gotten real far in the playoff process. I think those teams would need the home court advantage. A team like the Lakers or Milwaukee, the Clippers. Those are the teams that, you know, I think they'll be happy playing anywhere. Of course, they'd rather play in their backyard. It's frustrating, I'm sure, from the Laker standpoint that, hey, we had a 5.5 game edge on the Clippers in the West. We had 19 games left to play. Obviously, we were going to be the top seed in the West. And so that's not cool that, you know, we have to go to Vegas or Chicago or whatever city or cities the NBA eventually decides to hold a playoff type structure in. So yeah, that part is tough, but again, so many vets on this team with so many deep playoff runs, they don't need to get charged up or amped up by a crowd to win a ring.
Brett, final question. What'd you think last night? Last Dance, you think it lived up to the hype? Just in general, what'd you think of the start of that 10-part series?
Man, that thing was like the Super Bowl. People were talking about it for a week in advance. And you know what? It was great. It was great to see so many interviews from, again, I wasn't in my teenage years for that, but kind of in the 20s and in college for most of the 90s. And so I was kind of in and out of watching the Bulls and having gone to college in the Midwest, I guess. So they were kind of bigger there than they would have been out here in Lakertown. But it was pretty cool just seeing some of the blanks filled in and seeing what a real competitor Michael Jordan absolutely was. And also seeing my former colleague, Jay Adonde. He and I wrote together at the LA Times for several years, and he covered some of those Jordan teams for the Chicago paper back in the day. So I think the producers did a really nice job of getting guys who were on the ground, not just players and coaches and that type of thing, but media people who are very familiar with that team and that franchise. And so far, so good, man. I can't wait to see the rest.
Brez, thank you for doing this, buddy. I know you're, and I think we're all kind of in a similar position. We're all kind of waiting and seeing what happens from a sports perspective. But hope you stay safe, and let's hopefully talk some Lakers here on again soon, all right?
Sounds good to me, Alan.
Hey, Brez, thank you, buddy.
You got it.
I'll air this a little bit later tonight. I'll send
Brez, that's Mike Bresnahan right there. Okay, so real quick on a couple things that Brez was mentioning right there is it feels like when you look back at that documentary and when we look back and try and make some of these comparisons between the Lakers and the Bulls, all I could really get at is I'm much more appreciative of Dr. Jerry Buss. Not that I wasn't appreciative before. I just already knew how great he was. But it's just crazy to me that a general manager had that much power to want to break up that Bulls team, all the success that they were having, and they wanted to break it up. We'll do this when we come back. We got our Power Five. We're going to look at top matchups that never happened in the NBA. So we never got to see Kobe and MJ in the finals. Obviously, I mentioned too Kobe and LeBron. So we'll look at other matchups that we never got to see, and we'll compare it from there. We'll do that coming up next day right here. This is Lakers Talk on 7. I said Los Angeles 9 times in that promo. I'm reading a story right here, and this will just be the continued conversations. Tim Floyd told Jerry Reinsdorf, Jerry Krause, to let the Bulls die a natural death, that Jerry Krause was trying to actually oust Phil Jackson a year prior. So even before the 97-98 season, he wanted him out before then. That just makes no sense to me at all. He says, I don't think Jerry Krause understands that these guys are basically the Beatles. This is the most popular franchise of all time. I said, if I'm you, I would not do this. Not even the following year. Let it die a natural death because there are certain teams and players that you just don't break up. I think these guys have earned the right to let it die on its own death. Well, that didn't happen.
He took the job though, Alan.
Yeah, but this was prior to that. So he's saying that he took the job, but I think what he's saying is this was even before then. So before he, before even the 97-98 season, Cross was trying to break this up because he thought he can get more value for trading some of these players. The whole thing is just, look, this is all comes down to Funchess. I know we got our Power Five to do. It all just comes down to this. Where's the owner?
Exactly.
Where's the owner?
It's on his hands.
I mean, that's the one thing of the documentary that I would listen to, and I just kind of sat back and said to myself, like, I want that question to come up. I want Reinsdorf to either admit that, hey, he could have done more, or he gave too much power to Kraus, or maybe he would have said, no, this isn't on me. I did everything I needed to do. Like, whatever he thought, I was hoping he would do something. Or a question got proposed to take some of the fault, because Kraus got hammered today, as he should, but really it's up to the owner. The owner cuts the checks. He's the one that you should be more worried about. All right, let's do it.
Reinsdorf could have fired Kraus too. He could have fired him.
Or you know what he could have told Kraus? Funchess, he could have told Kraus, I see the ideas that you have in mind. I get that you want to rebuild. It sounds stupid. You can go sit in that corner and do what I tell you to do, but I'll call the shots at the end of the day. Like, that part is what I don't understand. I don't understand how Kraus had that much power when you were dominating the league for three championships in a row. So you're telling me, Funch, if they came back 98-99 season, they all came back together, they're not going to be the favorites to win again?
And not even that, Alan, you got to remember, too, that next season was a lockout shortened year.
Was that the year the Spurs won?
Yeah, it was a lockout shortened year. That's right.
That's right. Spurs won, I think
there was only 50 games that year.
I think there was 50 on the dot. 50 on the dot. All right, let's do our Power Five. Okay, so Power Five tonight, Funch. Top matchups that never happened in the NBA. Top matchups that never happened in the NBA Finals. Let me say that. Top matchups that never happened in the NBA Finals. Okay? So, Funches, you got your list?
Oh, yeah. I got my list.
All right. Why don't you get started here?
All right. I'm going to start off with the Lakers versus the Cavs. We never got to see... thanks to Dwight Howard and the Magic, we never got to see the finals that everyone wanted to see between Kobe and LeBron.
So, the Cavs... and the Cavs and the Lakers. Okay, yeah. That's your number five. All right, my number five. Now, this is kind of when did Patrick Ewing end up? When did he retire? No, Ewing was still around.
I want to say he retired in 2000.
In 2000. You know what would have been cool to see? Is to see the Lakers and the Knicks when Shaq was with the Lakers and Ewing was with
the
Knicks.
That would have been really cool. Like, and not even that, like the Knicks with John Starks and Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, all those guys.
How cool would that have been? You know, and also to just see those two centers kind of go at it. I think that would have been and I know, like, you know, we from a timing perspective, it's different for all these. Certain players played in certain generations. Jordan was 16 years older than Kobe or 15 years older than Kobe, but that would have been cool to see those two go at it. Who do you got at number four?
Number four for me, Lakers versus Heat. We never got to see the Lakers versus that super team.
Ah, damn, that's a good one. That's a really good one right there. Lakers versus the Heat. Okay, my number four for me is it'd have been cool to see the Rockets go up against the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
So that Olajuwon team, they won two championships in a row when Jordan left for the 18 months he went to go play baseball. It would have been an interesting matchup to see those two squads go at it. Who you got at number three?
Number three, I have the Bulls, the Michael's Bulls versus...
Never heard of them.
Versus the Spurs, which won in 99.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, that's right. Tim Duncan and David Robinson and some of those other...
I don't know. I think the Spurs might have beat the Bulls because they had that Twin Tower thing going.
I think that Bulls team... No matter what you threw at them, I think they're going to win a seven-game.
But then again, like San Antonio had no one that can check Michael Jordan.
Yeah, no, who was it? Mario Elliott.
Yeah, Sean Elliott.
Sean Elliott. Like, who's going to stop him? Okay, so my number three is going to be. I think that's a perfect Miami Heat versus the Los Angeles Lakers when LeBron was with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh to see kind of Kobe, Powell, and the crew, maybe even that Dwight Howard team, like one of those squads go up against. LeBron James. That's a great matchup that never happened. That's my number three. Who's your number two?
The Bulls versus the Rockets. We just talked about that. You know, what if Jordan didn't take those years off, and would we see Hakeem Olajuwon winning those back-to-back titles? We never know.
Okay, my number two will be, I think you might have sold me on the Kobe MJ one. So I think the LeBron Kobe, the Cavs versus the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Los Angeles Lakers in 2009 would have been my number two. That's my number two pick right there. Number Ooh. Two. Yeah, you sold me. Who's your number one?
Number one for me, even though they met each other in the 91 finals, and to this day, Michael Thompson says that Lakers team would have beat that Bulls team because of injuries they lost. But if Kobe and Shaq's Lakers have met Michael's Bulls, that would have been the ultimate right there.
Well, I'll say this. I'm going to go with the Lakers back in that 97-98 team getting a crack at the Chicago Bulls. I think that would have been fun to watch. But I think every time MT mentions that, he brings that up about James Worthy.
Yeah, he got hurt.
I mean, you can't lose a bigger player for the Lakers. I mean, that's not – I mean, it is almost the equivalent. I mean, think about how good James Worthy was, and you lose to that good of a Bulls team, you don't have that caliber of a player – I'm sorry, you're not going to win many series.
And James Worthy is one of the guys that known Michael Jordan his whole career, knows all of his tricks stuff like that.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so that's my number one. That's our top five right there. That's our power five. Funches, you know what? Let's let that music play. Let's just let that thing keep going as we get ready to wrap up the show here. I got a couple quick reminders. So one of the reminders I have tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. So make sure to tune in for that. They'll get you caught up on everything going on a local basis. In regards to, by the way, Sedano after that, Will Kane follows, and then we'll have Mason and Ireland follow from there. I'll hop on. So I'll be on all week, Tuesday to Friday, doing the Sliwa show. On Thursday and Friday, we're doing a special NFL draft show. So that special NFL draft show is Kirk Morrison's going to come in. Listen, if I got to break down the first two rounds of NFL football, you want Kirk Morrison with me, okay? A former NFL player that knows everything that he's talking about when it comes to football. So looking forward to doing that on Thursday and Friday. Also, another thing, if you missed any part of the show, you know that you can always tune in the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. So always get a chance to catch it there. Funches? We got 4 years in the books, my friend. 4 years in the books.
Another 4 years, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate everybody that called in the show and hit us up on Twitter. Funches, thank you as always. LA, have a great rest of your night.